everybody know that that Jackie had a little girl last night? I don't know. 41. Name her Maddie. Name her Rachel.
We already have a Rachel.
You can't name her. No, it's a biblical thing. It's a biblical. It's a biblical.
Genesis, remember John?
Rachel in Genesis.
Name somebody Genesis.
That
is in the Old
Testament. Oh, I'm sure. Did I say by Isaiah 41?
No.
Will everybody shut up?
Isaiah 41.
Are you mad at me still?
No, but did you hear I get pissed off and walked out of Bible study last night?
No.
No. What upset me was nobody came to ask me to come back. I got out there and I was all embarrassed. Nobody came to ask me to come back.
God,
all right. Keep silence before me, O Levi. No, that's not true. Don't say that. Huh? I'm just kidding. I was just putting, seeing if you seeing if you would bite. Keep silence before me. There is no more precious time than when, by the grace of God, you're able to silence all the voices. That means you finally reach with the state of what the Bible calls total and complete surrender, which is the same as humility. Every trial and every tribulation and every aspect, everything that has ever happened to you is to try to get you to this state of silence. And we are called isles in this context because we've came up out of the sea of humanity. Now the essence of Pentecost is that we must be willing in the day of His power. The only way we can be willing in the day of His power is if we keep silent. Because silence is the evidence that the curse has been broken, that the evil one has been overcome. Everything else in your life, and you've got to see this right now, today, everything else in your life must pass away in order that you might keep silent before Him. I can't, some of you I'm sure have tasted this position. But it's a position that by the grace of God, He's allowed me to go into at will, or at whenever I am troubled. There's no words to express the blessedness of that position. When you're able to silence all the voices, all the judgments, everything. And you're saying, Father, I'm yours without condition. And then silence. Anybody understand that? Has anybody here ever experienced it for any length of time? All the voices no longer have any power over you. Remember in Isaiah, in an earlier chapter, it talks about the one that watches so that he can cause you to be an offender for a word. Well, that fundamental thing is the one that's watching is the evil one. He's causing you to be an offender, and then all the voices agree with him. Understand that if you no longer condemn yourself, that it's impossible for you to judge another person. This falls in line with this mystery that Gary saw, that at the end of the counting of the Omer is unfeigned love. Because there's only He. He is unfeigned love. Can you understand? Can you taste that position in which there would never again be any self-condemnation? That you would know with a certainty that every aspect of your past has been covered in the blood, and every aspect of your future is in the Holy Spirit's hands, and every aspect of the now is in the Father's hands. There's no thing. Hear this.
The little baby was a good example of that. The baby is
there. Except you become as that little child, that technon, that darling infant, that one before self-awareness, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God unless you be converted and become as that little child. Chapter said that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away because the Holy, because God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, blows on it. Now, once you understand that, then silence becomes easy. And it's such a blessed position. Something that the world knows nothing about. The world can't stand that silence because it's of the self-condemnation that will go with the silence. So they always have to fill up the void with noise.
Evidence that you love Him is that you wait.
the evidence that you love him. It's the evidence that his love is revealed. Because you've gone through and seen everything else as empty and futile and less than nothing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, how do the eagles soar? They soar simply by slight movement of the wings with absolutely no effort, and they follow the path of the wind. If you've ever been up in the high mountains and watched the eagles, it's one of the most, it just blows you away when you see them. There are seagulls, it's the same kind of theory, but it's in this, the gulls are different. The seagulls can stay out on the ocean, in the air, for months with never touching land.
Like the albatross.
Yeah. Do it.
Mountain.
They never touch land because all they do is move their wings and soar. That's why the Holy Spirit is compared to the wind, or the wind is compared to the Holy Spirit. But we can't soar, we can't do anything when we're fighting within ourselves. We're opposing ourselves. Stop it. I don't know why. I still don't know why that
question. Well,
I
have to show it to you.
I need to get a copy of that, by the way, if you can.
That's just one.
That was
two. I'll make it. Thanks, Kevin.
What is it? I forgot.
It's a Bobby Lombard sketch. He's a psychologist. He guarantees you that within 5 minutes, he charges $1 a minute. No sessions go beyond 5 minutes. He doesn't make change and guarantees you results. You tell him what your problem is. He says, I have two words for you. I want you to listen. You don't have to write it down. Just listen. Stop it.
All right. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Now, what is the strength? What is our strength? Our strength is him. How is our strength renewed? In weakness, in purposed weakness, his strength is revealed. Perfect weakness. Weakness, humility, emptiness, love, weight, they're all the same thing. Because from that position comes all generosity, all revelation, all every one of your heart's desires.
Yeah. So the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Don't come for the joy unless you've got all of those things out of the way.
Let them come near. Then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to the sword and as the driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. The isle saw and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. say this. Okay, I want to get to a point. So let's skip down for a few verses. Now we'll go back to that next time we meet. Verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He has called you from the ends of the earth. He has chosen you from among all families and all nations. You have a calling that's greater than anything that your heart or mind could imagine. It said of us that we will judge the angels. The problem is you don't believe that. You still believe you're this little hunk of stuff, you know, and you're just, everything is wrong and all. And stop it. You are a chosen people, a peculiar people. Remember the word peculiar, it's the feminine of the verb form I am. You are the I am people. There can be no modifiers because the world has no words to describe who you are. It's so far greater than anything that words can imagine and words can describe that there are none. That's why words cannot describe spirit.
Got out of school, and the hot weather was hot, and there was this, you know, this
typical archetypal tree that sort of went over the big branch, and my dad, I think, put a rope up there. And we'd run out, my friend and I, we'd run out and take off all our clothes except our underwear, and we would run and grab that rope and just swing out. And the joy of that... words couldn't describe it. It was worth all the crap that I'd gone through in school. I hated school. I ran away every day. We had this huge, I think it was a pear tree or something. Anyway, we had this huge tree, and I'd climb up to the top of the tree, and my mother would send the hired man, the Swede, up there to get me. And I'd be throwing branches and pears or everything what they were. I wouldn't go to school. What?
You should have medicated you.
But remember, those experiences of total and complete trust and abandonment. The same experience the first time I jumped out of an airplane. For a second, it was just this incredible fear. What the hell? God didn't make me jump out of this damn plane.
Nothing wrong with that plane.
But the incredible joy and the rush when you did it, it's beyond words. Or spending days climbing a mountain and finally get to the top. That's the kind of feeling that I'm trying to get you to understand is your inheritance all the time. Yeah. That's a funny story. I should write that up for that Reader's Digest. The Reader's Digest would pay me $250.
The door will pay you.
I don't think they found them. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, in the tenth verse, always, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not.
And that's what gives an opening to all these voices. You're afraid of the future, you're afraid of something.
Yeah, and then the voices start. Ah. Anybody have any other response?
Yeah, there's a much better in the bed.
What?
The voice is just like there's a monster in the bed, in the closet.
I never believed that bullshit when I was a kid.
Well,
did you believe it?
I don't remember.
Well, I don't think you did. I don't think any kids believe it. Or maybe they did. You did? Well, you were the monster under the bed.
It's a myth spread by siblings.
That's true. Well, my sister probably thinks there's a monster under the bed.
Yeah. Well,
she probably still thinks it's there.
There's a monster in the next room.
one that would put her in a driveway.
One that needed Medicaid.
It was one. It wasn't a dryer like our dryers. It was a dryer one that was a top load that spun like this.
That
yeah, it was better.
Large.
It wasn't heated. That was just a spin dry thing.
We'll catalog all the stories for everybody so we can
They didn't have any water in it. No, there was a washer here with a thing, and then right and the same thing, in the same unit, was a spin dryer on top. And you put the clothes out of there, and you put them in there, and you spun them around. Got 90% dry, and you went out and was trying to hung them up. So I thought it'd be neat to put my sister in there.
How many jeans did
that produce? No, I didn't leave her in there very long. But she still remembers that. She remembers a lot. She remembers stuff I don't remember. I think she's making it up. That's why I don't.
She's raised in a concentration camp.
I shot her with a BB gun a few times.
At least we know.
Your little sister?
It doesn't matter.
We shoot each other.
Everybody did that.
My brother stabbed me.
Yeah. We buried my brother in the sand and finally we let him up.
Kevin? Did I push this?
Don't touch it.
Are we first?
Stop it.
Take it, big guy.